Great teachers have a way of asking great questions, and Jesus, the master, the greatest of teachers, asked the greatest of questions. Who do you say that I am? Why do you call me good? Which of these was the neighbor? But here in Mark's gospel, Jesus asks what seems to the disciples a crazy question, an insane question. Lord, you see the crowd pressing around on you. You're hemmed in on every side. 100 people have touched you. How in the world can you say, who touched me? There are many kinds of human touch. It's amazing how the imprint on the human brain takes place, feelings, physical touch between parent and child, but I can remember how my two children felt, each individually, and how they felt different from one another as I bent over to pick them up, different in girth and weight, and pulling them up, and how they felt different, pressed to my chest and against my cheek. And I can still kind of feel that. There's the touch of family affection, brother, sister, parent, child. There are hostile touches, sometimes pushing and shoving in a locker room or on a school bus. There are the meaningless touches of crowds, walking down a crowded street in Chicago. And it's that kind of touch the disciples thought Jesus was talking about. And there's the touch of desperate need. And it's this touch that Jesus identified and felt and turned round to see who had touched him, for he felt power had gone forth from him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood. That's the way the old RSV translates it. There was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered much under many physicians and spent all of her living and grew no better, but rather worse. This woman who touched Jesus was in a state of emotional desperation. In that culture, in that day, a woman's identity, and in a lot of ways, her whole worth was tied up in her ability to have children, especially male children, for her husband. She was very likely alienated emotionally from her husband, possibly divorced, because divorce was easy. We know that from Jesus' teaching elsewhere in the gospel. A man could put his wife away for not being able to have children and marry someone else who could. And she was ritually unclean for religious purposes. Leviticus says that a woman with a flow of blood is unclean and can't go to the temple. And so she was isolated religiously and spiritually, cut off from the worshiping community. Not only that, but anyone who touched her or came in physical contact with her was also ritually unclean. And there was a very arduous, time-consuming set of rituals that Jews in that time had to go through to get ritually clean again so they could go to worship. That's why in Jesus' parable, the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite cross clear on the other side of the road and pass the wounded, beat-up man. They want no risk at all of touching a dead body, for that also rendered people ritually unclean. She was desperate. She tried everything within the limits of her day. There are limits in our day, too. There are limits to what we can spend. There are limits to our budgets. There are limits to the budget of the state and the national government. There are limits to what government can do for us. And we're learning some of those things these last 12 or 18 months. But there is value in facing our limits. Facing our limits squarely and honestly can bring us back to the God who has no limits. So why did Jesus ask this crazy question? Who touched me? I think one thing is because he wanted this woman to acknowledge her need. That's a hard thing for us human beings to do. We have pride, And sometimes it's hard for us to acknowledge our need, even to our closest loved ones. It's hard to say, I need your forgiveness. I need your support. I need your understanding right now. That's a hard thing to do. And even in relationship to God, we have our pride, and sometimes it's hard to come to God in honest need. A lot of you will remember the famous movie, Ordinary People. It won all kinds of Academy Awards. It's about a Lake Forest family set in the late 1970s, a family where tragedy strikes. Two teenage sons go out in a sailboat on Lake Michigan, and a huge storm comes up, and the older son drowns. The mother is one of those kinds of people who cannot grieve, she cannot let down. She can't let herself go, she can't let go of herself. And she takes all of her pain and anger and grief out on the younger son who survived the accident. And at the end of the movie, Donald Sutherland, who plays the dad, says to Mary Tyler Moore, who plays the mom, "You are beautiful, but you're not strong. And when Buck died, you stopped loving, and I just don't understand that." And she goes upstairs to their bedroom and starts packing to leave. And for a moment, she pauses in her packing, and she trembles just for a moment. And then she gathers herself back together again, back to her perfectly coiffed, tightly tucked self, and finishes packing and leaves. It's difficult for us to acknowledge our need. I didn't miss a minute of the special on Farrah Fawcett several weeks ago when she openly talked about and shared with the world her struggle with cancer, and how Ryan O'Neill and she had this wonderful relationship and they planned to get married before she died, and I don't think they were ever able to do that. But during this special TV program, which was very touching, Farrah Fawcett openly talked about her need for God and her walk with God. And that touched me very deeply because God doesn't get a lot of press these days from celebrities. Jesus asked this question to help this woman come forward and acknowledge her need so that he could have a real, authentic, and deep relationship with her. He also wanted her to know that she didn't have to sneak up and steal her healing quickly and rush off. She was worth his time. To her healing, he added his blessing, and that is grace. Just imagine if she had rushed off home. Eventually, the day would have come where she would have felt, I stole something. I don't feel right about that, and I don't feel right with God. Jesus let her know that she was worth his time. Jesus said in John's gospel, I know my sheep and I call them each by name. Christ is the incarnation of a God who does not put us into voicemail or give us the runaround of a phone tree. This woman had his power of healing for the moment. But he didn't want her just to have that power of healing for the moment. He wanted her to have his love and grace forever. A love so great that he was willing to risk and sacrifice for her. Because this very incident was a major step on Jesus' path to the cross. It got the religious leaders who didn't like Jesus much all the more uptight that he was breaking their rules and regulations, touching a woman who would render him unclean, and so forth. Jesus loved her. He died for her. There was no secret to his love. He touched her openly with divine love. Some religions are all wrapped up in ritual requirements and obedience to those requirements, almost to the point of a compulsion. Christ is a Savior who's all about overwhelming love and grace and bringing about our gratitude, which is a total change of heart. John calls it being born again. Paul says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. To this woman, he gives total rebirth and a new identity. Daughter, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go and be healed of your disease. Now, here in Wildwood Church, I love a piece of your decor. And I don't think I've ever seen it in a church before, but during Lent and Easter season, you had a great tapestry that wrapped once around the cross and went up to the ceiling and out over the sanctuary and dropped down toward the back. And every time I looked at that, and I usually sit back there toward the back and it dropped down near where I would be sitting, I would be reminded of the hem of Jesus' cloak that this woman touched. It would make me want to be there too with Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. He drew me up from a desolate pit, out of a miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. What a sensation Susan Boyle has been lately. Now, she's had her tough moments in the last few weeks, but she walked out on that stage not looking like much, and the judges didn't expect much. And then she opened her mouth and sang that wonderful song from Les Mis. And wasn't it wonderful to see the judges go through this conversion experience? She proved that you don't have to look like Britney Spears or Sheryl Crow to be a singer. But she also showed you don't have to sing like Susan Boyle to be loved by Jesus Christ. We remember that part, those who have been touched by Christ. Jesus invites our touch. He gives us a whole new being and identity. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.